Ever feel like you're stuck, like in your own personal Egypt, like the walls are closing in and there's just no way out?
Oh, absolutely.
Today, we're going deep into Exodus chapter 6,
Okay.
where the Israelites are facing that exact situation,
Right.
to see what we can learn from their experience.
Yeah.
Our guide for this deep dive is an analysis titled Exploring Exodus Chapter 6. A deeper understanding of God's promises. Let me tell you, it's about to get really insightful.
I'm excited.
I think one of the things that really struck me was how the chapter doesn't shy away from the raw reality of the Israelites'
That's
situation.
rough.
They're enslaved, they're suffering under this brutal pharaoh,
Yeah.
and their cries for help seem to go unanswered.
It's a scene that resonates with anyone who's ever felt trapped and desperate for change.
Yeah, it's a feeling that's unfortunately universal. So what happens next?
Well, that's where the
Do they
story.
just give up hope?
No, they don't give up hope.
What?
That's where the story takes a fascinating turn.
Okay.
This is a turning point in the narrative,
Yeah.
a moment of divine intervention.
Ooh, I like that.
God speaks directly to Moses.
Wow.
And it's not just a casual, hey, what's up, Moses?
Right.
He reaffirms the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
Okay.
reminding them of his promises.
So God is stepping in,
Yeah.
but what do these promises actually look like?
This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
God doesn't just offer like vague hopes or
Yeah.
distant assurances.
Yeah.
The text is filled with I will statements,
Okay.
emphasizing action and intention.
I like that. Like
He's
it's.
not just saying things might get better.
Right.
He's declaring, I will bring you out, I will rescue you, I will redeem you.
It's a plan in motion.
It's a divine plan set in motion.
But even with these bold pronouncements,
Sure.
I mean, would you be a little skeptical if you were in their shoes?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
they've been oppressed for generations. Can you really blame them for having doubts?
You're absolutely right to question that.
Yeah.
The analysis actually delves into the Israelites' initial reaction,
Okay.
and it's not exactly one of blind faith. They've
Right.
been so beaten down, so accustomed to hardship,
Right.
that the very concept of freedom seems almost unimaginable.
So they're trapped in like a mental and emotional prison
Yeah.
even before the physical chains are broken.
Right.
So how do they bridge that gap between doubt and believe?
That's where the power of the four I wills comes into play.
Okay, yeah, let's get into that because I'm curious about
They
that.
offer a step-by-step roadmap to freedom,
Okay.
a tangible framework for understanding God's plan.
I like that. All right, so before we unpack those, there's another crucial element we need to address,
Yes.
the name change.
Good deal.
Oh, yes, the famous shift from El Shaddai to Yahweh.
It's
I
huge.
remember hearing about this, but I always thought it was just a minor detail.
Yeah.
Like, does a name really change that much?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's something that the analysis dives into with fascinating detail.
Okay.
You see, the name El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty, had been a source of strength for the Israelites.
Right.
It emphasized God's power and ability to provide, reminding them that even in their desperate situation, he
Right.
was capable of great things.
So it's like saying, don't worry, I've got the power to handle this.
Exactly.
Okay.
But Yahweh, which means I am, adds a whole new dimension.
Okay.
It goes beyond power
Right.
and speaks to God's constant presence,
Okay.
his unchanging nature. It's a personal declaration,
Okay.
a promise of intimacy and unwavering support.
Okay, so now that you put it that way,
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how significant this shift really is.
Right.
It's like God is saying, not only can I do this for you, but I'm here with you every step of the way.
Precisely.
Oh, wow.
It's a shift from a distant, all-powerful deity to a God who walks beside them, who hears their cries,
Yeah.
who knows their struggles intimately.
Right.
For a people stripped of their identity and dignity,
Yeah.
that personal connection would have been incredibly powerful.
It makes a lot of sense. It's like
Yeah.
suddenly God isn't just this concept or force, but a personal presence in their lives. It's like he got closer, more involved.
And that brings us back to those four I wills.
Yes.
Each one builds upon this foundation of personal relationship,
Okay.
offering a tangible path towards liberation.
Okay.
The first one is particularly striking.
All right.
God promises to bring them out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Wow. I can only imagine how those words must have resonated with the Israelites.
Right.
Burdened not just by physical labor, but by that emotional and spiritual weight of slavery.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a promise to lighten their load, both literally and figuratively.
That's a really insightful observation.
Yeah.
The language itself is so evocative, isn't it? It speaks directly to their experience of oppression.
So we've got a God who is both powerful
yeah.
and personally invested,
mm-hmm.
a promise of liberation and a roadmap to freedom.
Yes.
But how do we...
That's the mission.
The Israelites move from doubt to belief.
Yeah.
How do we embrace this promise when our own personal Egypts seem insurmountable?
That's a question that's challenged humanity for centuries,
yeah.
and it's something we'll explore further
okay.
as we continue our deep dive into Exodus chapter 6.
Stay tuned. We left off with that powerful image of God lifting the burdens of the Israelites,
right.
both literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a promise of relief,
yeah,
a glimmer of hope in their desperate situation.
Exactly. And that promise of relief is just the beginning.
Okay.
The second I will goes even further.
Okay.
God promises to rescue them from slavery.
So it's a movement from mere survival
yes.
to actual freedom.
Yes.
But if you've only ever known slavery,
right.
how do you even begin to grasp what freedom means?
Yeah.
That seems like a monumental mental shift.
It's a profound transformation.
Yeah.
And the analysis highlights how challenging that shift would have been for the Israelites.
Right.
Imagine a life where your every action is dictated.
Yeah.
Your identity defined by your status as a slave.
Right.
To suddenly embrace the concept of freedom.
Yeah.
To believe that you have the right to self-determination.
Right.
That's a radical leap.
It's like they need to relearn how to be human.
Yes.
How to be free.
Exactly.
And how does God guide them through that process?
That's where the third I will comes in.
Okay.
And it's perhaps the most powerful of all.
Okay.
God promises to redeem them with an outstretched arm.
Okay. But is that outstretched arm just a metaphor?
Yeah.
Or is there something more concrete behind that imagery?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that for the Israelites,
mm.
steeped in the language and symbolism of their time,
right.
metaphors weren't just literary devices.
Yeah.
They were powerful tools for understanding the divine.
Oh, okay.
That this image of God's outstretched arm
yeah.
wouldn't have been abstract.
Ooh,
it would
right.
have evoked a sense of tangible power.
Right.
Of God reaching down into their situation.
Wow, yeah.
And pulling them out of their suffering.
That's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And it really drives home the personal nature of God's involvement in their liberation.
Yeah.
But even with these promises,
mm.
wouldn't there still be a part of him that wonders... what happens next?
Right.
Who are we if we're not slaves?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where the fourth and final I will comes into play.
Okay.
It's the culmination of their journey.
Right.
The fulfillment of God's promise.
Oh, yeah.
He will take them as his people.
So it's not just about geographical relocation.
Yeah.
It's about identity transformation.
It is.
They're moving from a state of enslavement.
Right.
To a position of belonging.
Yes.
A chosen people defined by their relationship with God. That's a profound shift.
It is.
It's not just about freedom from oppression.
Yeah.
It's about finding a new purpose.
Right.
A new identity.
Yes.
But let's be real.
Sure.
Is that kind of transformation truly realistic?
That's where the analysis gets really insightful.
Okay.
It acknowledges that this transformation wasn't instantaneous
right.
or effortless.
Okay.
It was a process.
Right.
A journey that required faith.
Okay.
Perseverance and a willingness to embrace a new way of seeing themselves and the world around them.
So it's not just a destination.
Right.
It's a journey.
Yes.
And that journey, as we've seen throughout this chapter,
right.
is fraught with challenges, doubts, and setbacks.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so relatable to us today.
Mm-hmm.
We all face our own Egypts, our own struggles
yeah.
with doubt
yeah.
and the temptation to give in to despair.
Right.
But the Israelites' journey reminds us that even in the darkest of times,
yeah.
even when freedom seems like an impossible dream,
right.
there's hope.
And that hope is rooted not just in a distant God,
right.
but in a God who walks beside us,
yes.
who reaches down with an outstretched arm,
mm-hmm.
who calls us his own.
And who, through his promises, guides us on a journey of transformation.
Yes.
From slavery to freedom,
right.
from doubt to belief.
So we've explored the historical context,
mm-hmm.
unpacked the power of God's promises,
right.
and even grappled with the Israelites' doubts and struggles.
Yeah.
But how does this ancient story connect to our lives today?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's something the analysis touches on in a fascinating way.
Okay.
It argues that the Israelites' journey is not just a historical event,
right.
but an enduring archetype for the human experience.
Oh, okay.
We all face moments of feeling trapped, burdened, and desperate for liberation.
Right.
And just like the Israelites, we might struggle to believe in the promise of freedom, to embrace the possibility of transformation.
So it's like a timeless story. A blueprint for navigating the challenges of faith.
Yes.
And finding our own path to liberation.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the key takeaway is that transformation is a journey,
right?
Not a destination. Okay. It's about taking those first steps of faith, even when we're surrounded by doubt, and trusting that God will guide us step by step towards a life of freedom and purpose.
Okay, so we've got this powerful concept of transformation, this journey from slavery to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I'm still grappling with the idea of moving from doubt to belief.
Sure.
It seems so easy to just say, just have faith.
Right.
But how do we actually cultivate that kind of unwavering trust?
Yeah.
Especially when we're facing real life challenges.
That's a question that's challenged philosophers and theologians for centuries.
Right.
And there's no simple answer.
Yeah.
But I think the analysis offers some valuable insights by drawing a distinction between blind faith and informed faith.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this distinction.
Okay. So blind faith is often based on fear. On clinging to beliefs without questioning or understanding.
Right.
Informed faith, on the other hand,
is
rooted in a deep and thoughtful engagement with our beliefs.
So it's not about shutting down our critical thinking.
No.
It's about engaging with our doubts.
Yes.
And seeking answers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that process of questioning and seeking is what strengthens our faith. The analysis argues that the Israelites' doubts were not a sign of weakness, but rather a necessary part of their journey.
Okay.
They were wrestling with their beliefs, trying to reconcile their experience of suffering with the promise of a God who loved and cared for them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like they were actively engaged in a dialogue with their faith.
Exactly.
Challenging it, testing it, and ultimately strengthening it through that process.
Precisely. And that's a model for us today. Yeah. It's not about pretending we don't have doubts or ignoring the challenges we face.
Right.
It's about engaging with those doubts, seeking answers, and allowing our faith to be tested and refined through that process.
It's like faith isn't a static thing.
No.
It's a dynamic process that evolves and deepens as we grapple with life's complexities.
And that brings us to another crucial aspect of this journey.
Okay.
The role of community.
The role of community.
The Israelites didn't go through this transformation alone.
Right. It's easy to get caught up in the individual aspect of faith.
Right.
But we often forget the importance of community.
Yes.
Of having others to support us, challenge us, and help us navigate the complexities of our beliefs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The analysis emphasizes that the Israelites' journey was a collective one.
Right.
They leaned on each other for strength.
Whoa.
They shared their doubts and fears, and they celebrated their triumphs together. And just like the Israelites, we're not meant to go through this journey alone.
Yeah.
We have communities of faith.
Right.
We have loved ones.
Right.
And we have a God who promises to never leave us or forsake us.
It's a powerful reminder that we're part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yes.
And that we can draw strength and support from those around us.
And as we do, we might just discover, like the Israelites, that the impossible can become possible.
Right.
That freedom, though hard won, is within reach.
Right.
And that the transformative power of faith can lead us to a promised land.
Right.
Not just a physical place, but a state of being.
Yeah.
A life filled with hope and purpose.
That's a beautiful image.
It is.
And it's a powerful reminder that the journey is worth it.
Yeah.
But I'm still curious about this idea of the promised land.
Sure.
Is it really just a physical destination?
Right.
Or is there a deeper, more metaphorical meaning behind it?
That's a question that's been debated for centuries.
Yeah.
And the analysis offers a nuanced perspective.
Okay.
It suggests that the promised land represents both a physical destination.
Okay.
And a state of being.
Right.
On one level.
Okay.
It was the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants, a place where they could establish a new life, free from oppression.
Okay.
But on a deeper level,
it
represented a state of spiritual and emotional freedom.
Okay.
A place where they could fully embrace their identity as God's chosen people.
So it's like a dual meaning.
Yes.
A physical place.
Right.
And a spiritual state of being.
Exactly.
But how do we reconcile those two aspects?
That's a question that each of us has to grapple with individually.
Right.
But I think the analysis points to a key insight.
Right.
The Israelites' journey wasn't just about reaching a destination.
Okay.
It was about the transformation that occurred along the way.
Okay.
They were tested. They were challenged. Mm. They were forced to confront their doubts and fears.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process,
they were refined, they were strengthened,
right.
They were made ready for the promised land.
So it's not about arriving at a perfect state of being,
right.
But about embracing the journey of transformation.
Yes.
The process of becoming who we're meant to be.
Exactly. And that journey, as we've seen,
mm-hmm.
is often messy,
yeah,
challenging, and full of unexpected twists and turns.
Right.
But it's through those twists and turns that we grow.
Yeah.
We learn,
mm-hmm.
and we ultimately discover the true meaning of freedom.
Okay, so we've explored the power of God's promises.
Right.
The transformative nature of faith.
Yes.
The importance of community.
Mm-hmm.
And even the dual meaning of the promised land.
Right.
But how do we take all of these insights and apply them to our own lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
And it's something that the analysis encourages us to ponder as we continue our deep dive into Exodus chapter 6.
Okay.
But before we wrap up this part of our exploration.
All right. There's one final element that I think is worth highlighting.
Right.
The concept of remembrance.
Remembrance.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
How does that fit into the story of Exodus?
Well, the analysis points out that the Israelites were repeatedly commanded to remember their journey.
Okay.
To remember their deliverance from Egypt.
Okay.
And it wasn't just about reminiscing about the past.
Right.
It was about actively engaging with the lessons they had learned,
mm-hmm.
the challenges they had overcome,
okay.
and the transformative power of God's faithfulness.
So it's like an active form of remembrance.
Exactly.
A way of integrating the past into the present.
Yes.
And using it to shape our future.
Precisely.
Okay.
And I think that's a powerful takeaway for us today.
Okay.
As we face our own Egypts.
Right.
Our own struggles with doubt, fear, and the temptation to give up hope.
Yeah.
We can draw strength and inspiration from the Israelites' journey.
Okay.
We can remember their deliverance,
right.
their perseverance, and the transformative power of God's faithfulness.
Right.
And in doing so,
yeah.
we can find the courage to keep moving forward,
right.
to embrace the journey of transformation,
mm-hmm.
and to ultimately discover our own promised land.
That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect segue into the final part of our deep dive into Exodus chapter 6.
I agree.
We've been on quite a journey.
We have.
With this deep dive
yeah.
into Exodus chapter 6.
Yeah.
We've seen the Israelites at their lowest point,
mm-hmm.
heard God's powerful promises.
Right.
And even grappled with the complexities of moving from doubt to belief.
It's a tough one.
But I'm still left wondering
yeah.
how we take all of this
right.
and make it relevant to our lives today.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? The analysis doesn't shy away from this challenge.
Okay.
It suggests that the Israelite story isn't just an ancient tale.
Right.
It's a mirror reflecting our own human struggles.
Okay, so how do we look into this mirror and actually learn something? It's easy to get lost in the symbolism and historical details.
Right. We can't just slap a freedom sticker on our laptops and call it a day.
Right.
The analysis encourages us to go deeper.
Okay.
To ask ourselves, what are my burdens? What Egypt am I trying to escape?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us,
yeah.
it's not literal slavery.
Right.
But those feelings of being stuck.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed, maybe even hopeless at times.
Exactly. It could be a toxic relationship, a dead-end job.
Right.
Or even a negative mindset that's holding you back.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, Exodus 6 reminds us that no matter how heavy those burdens feel,
mm-hmm.
God is still in the business of liberation.
But here's the thing that trips me up.
Okay.
Those four I wills sound amazing.
Yeah.
But is it really that simple?
Yeah.
Just believe and everything gets magically fixed.
That's where the analysis gets really nuanced.
Okay.
It acknowledges that faith isn't a magic wand.
Right.
It's more like a muscle that gets stronger with use. The Israelites' journey wasn't a stroll through the park.
Right.
It was 40 years of hardship,
oh.
doubt, and setbacks.
So you're saying even with God's promises,
mm-hmm.
there's still work involved.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
God provides the roadmap, the support, the ultimate destination.
Okay.
But we have to take the steps,
right.
make the choices.
Oh.
And yes, sometimes stumble along the way.
Right.
The Israelites complained,
yeah.
doubted,
yeah.
and wanted to go back to Egypt at times.
That makes him seem a lot more relatable, to be honest.
Right.
If I were in their sandals, I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The point is, faith isn't about being perfect or never questioning.
Okay.
It's about choosing to trust,
mm-hmm.
even when it's hard to yeah. keep moving forward, even when you can't see the full path ahead.
Okay, but how do we do that practically?
Yeah.
If I'm feeling lost in my own Egypt,
right.
what's the first step?
The analysis points to a few key things the Israelites did.
Okay. That we can learn from.
Okay. First, they cried out to God for help.
Oh.
They acknowledged their need,
mm-hmm.
their suffering, and their inability to change things on their own.
That's humbling.
Yeah.
But also kind of empowering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Admitting you need help is often the hardest part.
Absolutely. Then they listened for God's voice.
Oh.
Now, we may not hear a booming voice from the heavens,
right.
but that listening can take many forms.
Right.
Prayer, reflection,
yeah. Yeah.
seeking wisdom from others,
yeah.
even paying attention to our gut feelings.
So it's about being open to guidance.
Yes.
Wherever it may come from.
Exactly.
But let's be real.
Yeah.
Sometimes, even with the best intentions,
sure.
doubt creeps in.
It does.
How did the Israelites deal with that?
This is where the concept of remembrance comes in.
Okay.
They were constantly reminded to look back
okay.
at what God had already done for them.
Right.
It wasn't just about dwelling on the past.
Right.
It was about drawing strength from those experiences.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like they were actively using their history
mm.
to fuel their faith.
Yes.
Do we have something similar in our modern lives?
Think about it. We keep photos,
yeah.
journals,
mm.
maybe even tell stories to remind ourselves of hard times we've overcome.
Right.
It's that same impulse. If I got through that, I can get through this too.
It's like building a personal archive of resilience.
Exactly.
And that ties back to the idea of community, right?
It does.
Sharing our stories,
yeah. yes.
supporting each other,
mm-hmm.
reminding each other of God's faithfulness.
Exactly. The Israelites had each other, and we have each other too, whether mm-hmm. it's a faith community,
yeah.
friends, family, or even online groups.
Yeah.
Sharing our struggles and triumphs can be incredibly powerful.
So if I am hearing you right.
Yeah.
The key takeaway from Exodus 6 isn't just about God's power.
Right.
But about our own active role in this journey of liberation.
Yes.
We have to choose faith.
Mm-hmm.
Seek guidance. Remember our past victories.
Yes.
And lean on our communities.
Beautifully put. And in doing so,
yeah.
we might find that our own promised land isn't some distant, unattainable goal,
right.
but a way of being,
right.
a life lived with greater freedom, purpose, and connection with something bigger than ourselves.
That's a powerful thought to end on.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Exodus chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
here's a challenge for you. What Egypt are you ready to leave behind?
Mm.
What step can you take today?
Good one.
Even a small one. Towards your own promised land.
Keep seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Keep believing.
Yeah.
And remember, you're not alone on this journey.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep the conversation going.